Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ninth in the series called The Relationship Puzzle, sponsored by Dr. Alex Lloyd and the Healing Codes family. We are delighted that you're here with us today, and we are blessed and honored with your presence. Today, our topic is the process of healing my life and yours. Our guest speaker, I'm putting that in quotes, is our one and only Dr. Alex Lloyd. He doesn't need a lot of introduction from us. Other than I'm going to give a shout-out to our family in the Crossroads Shelter in George, South Africa, and welcome them for being on the program with us. Alex, it's all yours until you want me to take questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mary Ann. And thank all of you for being here. For a number of years when I did private practice counseling and therapy and things like that, my specialty was relationships. And that was not an accident. It was because from a very early age, I believed that the way your relationships went determined the way you felt, whether you were happy or not, even sometimes whether you feel sick or not, or the physiology of your body. I noticed as a child that, you know, when I was right with my parents and my brothers and my sisters and kids at school, I usually felt really great physically and emotionally, my thoughts. But if I was not right with my parents, or not right with one of my siblings, or not right with one of my really good friends at school, or not right with myself or with God, I usually wouldn't feel very good. Sometimes I would even have a stomach ache or a headache or something like that. And it was to a much greater degree, and it was much more consistent than if something was not right, just, you know, like in my circumstances, okay? Let's say money was really tight or something due to some circumstances in our family life, which happened a number of times. Well, you feel some stress and tension, especially as you sense that in your parents and you talk about it or something like that. Or you make a bad grade at school or something. But to me, when things were not right with a relationship, an important relationship, versus something not being right just in my circumstances, the relationship affected how I felt and thought and the physiology of my body many, many times more than just a circumstance that did not really involve a relationship. And so that's kind of where that started for me. And I sensed it in other people. I can remember when I was younger than 10 years old and we would have people over to our house, and then after they left, sometimes I'd go to my parents and say something like, you know, Mr. Jones seemed like he didn't feel good today, or Mr. Jones or Mrs. Smith seemed like something was wrong or whatever. And almost every single time that happened with me, my parents would either tell me or I would find out later that either they were getting a divorce or someone close to them had died or had gotten some bad diagnosis or something like that. And I knew that was true with my parents, that the relationship issues affected them more than anything else. So I always kind of kept an eye on that and kind of kept it in the back of my as sort of a backdrop to everything else in my life. And it never stopped my whole life with everybody I was around, and then in high school and in athletic teams and college and after college and work environments and everything like that, virtually 100% of the time, if people had a problem with their relationships, it tremendously affected them. Every time, if their relationships were good and harmonious, they tended to be happy, feel good, more successful, etc. So when I decided to go into counseling and therapy, and it really started before that when I was working with teenagers doing a lot of counseling, but I didn't really know what I was doing. The reason I did that, the reason that was my, quote, specialty, I guess, is because of that experience of seeing it work that way virtually my entire life, and especially with me, okay? So many years ago, I started telling my clients and teaching when I would teach that every issue is a relationship issue, ultimately, okay? So you might imagine after a lifetime of that and not just a few times being ridiculed by other professionals for saying that when there was not clinical proof yet, you can imagine how delighted I was a number of years ago when the clinical proof started to come out and be published that confirmed that every issue is a relationship issue, even your physical health issues, and that everything boils down to love versus stress slash fear. Okay? And so let me review just a little bit. I think I shared some of these in the first session that I did that kicked off this series. But last year, May 12th, USA Today, on the front page of USA Today, they list a brand new study out of Denmark, a longitudinal study published in the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health, a pretty prestigious journal, and this was done over time with thousands of people. And the conclusion of their study is that if your relationship issues are stressful and conflicted, you have a 200 to 300% greater chance of contracting a major illness and or dying by middle age. Conversely, if your relationships are harmonious and peaceful, you have a 200 to 300% less chance of contracting a serious illness or disease and or dying. So if your relationships are harmonious and peaceful, you have a 200 to 300% better chance of being happy and healthy and living a long, wonderful, great life than if they're not. Okay? And I've been watching this research for decades. I have never seen one single factor make a 200 to 300% difference in whether you get sick or die young. 20% is big, 30% is big, 50% is huge. 200 to 300%, okay? And then the other one that's come out very recently is the Harvard Grant study. According to Dr. Martin Seligman, the most significant study on the human condition in the history of mankind, and I agree with him, took 75 years to do the study, cost over $20 million, done at Harvard, and for the last 30 years, the caretaker of that study has been Dr. George Valiant, who wrote a book about the study when it was completed. And the conclusion of the study is that happiness equals love. End of discussion. The way he put it, he said there's a five-word conclusion that took 75 years and over $20 million to reach, and it's this: happiness equals love, full stop. Full stop meaning period, end of discussion. That's it, okay? Well, if you read the book about the study, and I have, and it's a really good book, and I would advise that, it's not just happiness. It's success. It's great relationships. It's achievement. It's everything good that you want for your life comes from love. Well, guess what? The opposite of love is stress / fear, okay? Fear that manifests as stress. If you are in an internal place of love, you can't be stressed. You can't be in fear. It's impossible. Unless it's a life-threatening emergency right now. That's the one exception. That's your fight-or-flight mechanism designed to save your life. But it's only supposed to happen once every 3-4 months. And then just for 10 minutes or so, and then we go right back to peace and balance. The problem is the average person's going into stress, fight, or flight 10 to 20 times a day over the mail coming, over what the stock market is doing, over it raining instead of being sunny, over traffic, over 100 different things, okay? That is a malfunction of our systems, unconscious, subconscious, conscious, and body. That is a malfunction of those systems, okay? According to Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who wrote the wonderful book, Who Switched Off My Brain, we do not have any mechanisms in our unconscious, subconscious, or conscious, or our physical body for the negative. There's not one function for the negative. Every function is for the positive. So when we experience a negative, like anger, irritation, frustration, overwhelmed, sadness, depression, anxiety, worry, low self-worth, rejection, unforgiveness, when we experience those, you can take it to the bank. It's a malfunction inside of you. Okay? Well, what is the malfunction? It's that you have internal programming that is fear-based related to that issue rather than internal programming, which is peace and love-based. That's it. Okay. So, when Hope and I, my wife, when we started having marriage problems about 2 years into marriage, it actually started before that, but that's when we kind of first admitted it, I think. Excuse me, drink of water there. We went to counseling, okay? And we read books. And we talked. I mean, we didn't want to get divorced. We wanted to work this out, okay? So we go to counseling and we read books. And what does the counseling and what do the books say? Well, basically they say to negotiate, okay? And that was very popular in that day and time. That was in the late 80s, early 90s, okay? So we get into the counseling office, and the counselor is like, okay, Alex, tell me what's going on from your perspective, okay? And, of course, from my perspective, Hope was the problem, things she was doing or not doing. Okay, Hope, from your perspective, what's the problem? And from her perspective, the problem was mainly me, things I was doing or not doing. Okay, and so then the counselor, tries to calm us down and tries to assure us that the other person is really not the enemy or a terribly bad person, okay? And that was good. But then the negotiation starts. Okay, Alex, what would have to happen for you to not have maybe the ultimate marriage you would like to have, but to be okay, for you to say, okay, this may not be my ideal marriage situation, but I can be okay if I get this. All right, Hope, same question to you. What would have to happen for you to be okay? If Alex would stop doing that and start doing this, okay, and maybe she had six or eight things like that, and I had six or eight things like that. And so we negotiate, okay? Well, it wasn't surprising to me. It didn't work, okay? And it didn't work because it's not addressing the source of the problem. And so we negotiated, and we signed our name at the bottom of a document. I will do this if she will do that. And she will do this if I will do that. And we started on our way, and the counselor seemed very proud of himself. And, all right, job accomplished. Okay, another successful marriage counseling resolution. Okay, I later found out that there was resolution with almost no one they worked with. Okay, in fact, many people got worse as we did with that kind of counseling slash therapy. Why? Because it did not address the source of the problem. Okay, here's the deal with this. Clinically now, we didn't used to be able to say this, but clinically now we have proven that happiness and success come from love. Failure and unhappiness come from stress, which comes from fear, internal fear. So, that would make you think, okay, so that means I've got to do in my relationships that are not good, even with myself, or ones that are causing me stress, I've got to do this negotiation thing, right? So that I can get them from stress to love. Wrong. That's not love. What's in it for me, business deal negotiation, is not love. That is all about my self-interest. That is all about what I want from an instant gratification, selfish place. Okay? You will not find in the definition of unconditional love me having as my top priority getting my self-interest met. Now, what you will find in the definition of unconditional love is me putting the other person's self-interest ahead of mine, or at least equal to mine. No matter what, no matter what they do or don't do, okay? You will find in the definition of what's in it for me, or selfishness, or instant gratification, me focusing almost exclusively on my self-interest, what I want and don't want, related to other people and my external circumstances. So the first thing we have to do is to be sure that we're defining these terms right, because I had told Hope 1,000 times, probably several thousand in the first 3 years that we were together, I love you. And she said it back to me. But what I didn't realize until later is that what's in it for me self-interest, selfishness was not love at all. So, I'm saying I love you, but I'm doing selfishness. And she could sense that, all right? I apologize. My dog's barking. I think he'll stop in just a second. Okay, so here's how that changes things. And by the way, this is a hard concept to really understand, and even harder to apply, because we are so programmed to our self-interest. We're so programmed to selfishness. We're so programmed to our own gratification. We're so programmed to what I want. Okay? So you may really have to pray and meditate over this a while to really get it. And then it's going to take some time, in addition to that, for you to apply it to your life. All right? But this is how this changes things. Whether I really love hope or not is not determined by what hope does or doesn't do. Whether I love hope or not is determined by my internal programming. And the same for hope. And the same for you. And that's also true of my relationship with myself, my relationship with my people at work, with my neighbor, with my siblings and relatives. Whether I'm in a place of love or stress about that is not because of what they do. It's because of my internal programming. And until you really get that, it's difficult to go farther. Now, once you do get that, then the next step, which is really great news, is to realize that I don't have to fix or change them, or very possibly even my circumstances. If I can change my internal programming related to that person or that circumstance in my life from stress and fear to love and peace, it will change me internally, change my programming to love and peace. And the thing that's really magic about this, and it's uncanny, and I see it almost every single time, is that when I change from stress, fear toward another person or an external issue to love, peace toward another person or an external issue, it virtually always starts to change the other person in my circumstance for the better. We don't want the worse, right? Changing for the better. And the thing that's so amazing about that to me is that, like with Hope, for years I had been trying to change her through manipulation, through willpower, through business deal negotiation, through everything else, and none of it worked. Well, when I quit trying to change her and realized the problem was in me all along and focused on changing my internal programming and was successful at that, Hope starts to change, and not just change, but changed beyond anything I would have ever imagined without me ever doing anything to try to get her to change. I'll give you an example. When Hope and I got married, I grew up in a sports family, played almost all sports, and loved sports. Went to games, watched games on TV, played them at a, you know, a low level kind of thing. And one of the things I loved the most was University of Tennessee football. Man, I was a diehard fan. My older brother went to the University of Tennessee, so we would go visit him there, and we would go see games, and we would listen to him on the radio when we were at home and all that sort of thing. And I loved it. I really loved it. So Hope and I get married, and Hope does not have an athletic bone or cell or anything in her being, doesn't understand it, thinks it's stupid. So she not only doesn't want to go with me to any of these things, she very much does not want me to go and waste my time on money on something so silly. Okay? So when we start having our marriage problems a couple of years into marriage, that's one of her big issues. Okay? And just the mention of football or UT or anything like that just made her furious. It just made her angry. Okay? So I have this kind of transforming experience in my life where I believe God kind of takes me to spiritual school, and I start to learn some of this stuff, and I'm starting to be reprogrammed from internal fear and stress to love. And all of a sudden, I don't care about football anymore. I mean, not the way I did. It wasn't a have to. It didn't have a hold on me anymore, okay? Which was really wonderful. And I'm still there today. And I never could have done that. It was done to me, I believe. But anyway, Hope and I get back together. She had kicked me out of the house and agreed about 6 weeks later to go on a date with me. She would tell me later that the first time she looked in my eyes again, she knew I was not the same man. And she was right, and I haven't been since. I've still got a long way to go, okay, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. But anyway, we had a recommitment ceremony for our marriage, and probably a couple of months later, an amazing thing happened to me, okay? And as part of all of this, I had been deprogrammed and reprogrammed largely from fear and stress to love and peace, especially in areas related to Hope. And sports no longer had a hold on me. You know, I could sit down and enjoy a game, but I didn't get all stressed out if my team didn't win. And I didn't have to watch it or go to it at all. I was fine with that, too. Okay? Well, a few months later, Hope and I are just doing awesome. I mean, we're more in love than we'd ever been in our lives. We were hugging all the time, holding hands all the time, kissing on each other all the time. It had probably been kind of disgusting if you were there watching us, you know. But we were just, it was just so wonderful, okay, especially compared to how it had been not too long ago. And one day, Hope said to me, "Hey, Alex, can I talk to you a second?" And I said, "Well, sure." And I could tell she was having a hard time saying what she was about to say, okay? But she had a smile on her face, okay? And here's what she said. She said, "Alex?" And I said, "Yeah, Hope." Well, actually, I said, "Yeah, Tracy." Her name was Tracy then. She changed it later. But anyway, I said, "Yeah, what is it?" She said, is there a Tennessee football game this weekend?" And as soon as she said that, you know, I kind of had this warning light go off on my dashboard. Danger, danger, danger. Because that had made her so mad, you know, not too long ago. And so I was sort of cautious here, and I said, well, yeah, I think there may be. Why do you ask? Because, you know, I sure didn't want to be in trouble again. And she looked at me in the eye. She grabbed hold of my hands and held my hands. And she said, I want you to go. And immediately I said, oh, no. I don't need to go. I don't even really want to go. I mean, that doesn't have a hold on me anymore. I can enjoy it if it's on, but no, I don't need to. I mean, thank you for saying that, but I don't need to do that. She grabbed my shoulders, pulled me closer to her, looked me in the eye, and said, please listen to me. She said, I love you so much. I want you to go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had tried to get her to that place for years, okay? And it never worked. In fact, it only made things worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not trying to get there. I've given it up. I'm completely at peace with that. Don't need it anymore. And she's not only gone to the place that I was trying to get her to, she's gone way, way beyond it. She's not just letting me go. She literally, truly, honestly wanted me to go because she was caring about me before herself, just as I was for her before myself. And both of us knew how dramatically different that was than the way we had been living, and were determined never to go back to that old way, and we haven't. So here's the point. You don't have to change the other person. You don't have to have a negotiation. You don't have to strike a business deal. You don't have to change the other person or usually even your circumstance. You can change the programming internally to you. And number one, you will now be at peace and in love related to that issue, which totally changes your thoughts, feelings, emotions, etc. But very likely, it will start to change that other person and possibly even your circumstances in a way that was never possible when you were coming from a place of your own self-interest, your own wants, your own instant gratification, your own what's in it for me business deal negotiation relationship. Okay. The other point I wanted to make, your 24/7 experience, how you feel, what you think, and the physiology of your body. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know where that comes from? Your 24/7 experience. I mean, are you happy or sad? Do you feel good or you feel bad? Where does that come from? Huh? Where does it come from? Is it osmosis? Is it just sort of, you know, some mystical sort of thing that we can't get a handle on? Where does it come from? Well, by and large, it comes from your chemicals. Okay? Your brain, nervous system, and body work on chemicals. All right? And it's not quite this simplistic, but I'm gonna state it to you this way because it gets the point across better than trying to go through all of the different chemicals. But basically the chemicals of your brain, nervous system, and body fall into two categories. Stress-based, which come from fear, and or peace-based, which come from love. All right? Well, those chemicals determine, I didn't say related, they determine, they control what you feel, think, experience, and the physiology of your body moment by moment, 24/7. The love, peace chemicals are oxytocin, which is called the love hormone, by the way, positive peptides that come from when love-based memories and programming is activated. Those are the love, peace hormones and chemicals. The stress fear chemicals are largely cortisol, which comes from your fight or flight stress response, and dopamine, which is related always to the release of cortisol and adrenaline. Dopamine comes from the stress response. And dopamine is highly addictive. It's almost like natural internal heroin or something like that. Okay? And let me share with you clinically the differences in your thoughts, feelings, and the physiology of your body, meaning your moment-by-moment experience 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, okay? When the fear stress response is activated, here's what it does clinically. Dumbs you down, makes you sick, drains your energy, suppresses your immune system, increases pain. And if you don't have pain, it causes pain, raises your blood pressure, closes your cells, has a destructive effect on relationships because of how you're thinking, feeling, etc., causes the emotional experience of fear, anger, depression, confusion, shame, worth and identity issues, and causes you to do whatever you're doing in the present moment from a negative perspective, even if you try to put on an outward face of being happy and all that stuff. Okay? So when your internal fear, stress, is activated, that's what happens. Not 50% of the time. Not 90% of the time, not 99% of the time, 100% of the time. That's what happens. Okay? And anytime that happens, when your life is not in imminent mortal danger, it is a malfunction of your systems. It was not supposed to happen. It means you've got bad programming. You have a human hard drive virus on your hard drive. internally. Okay, on the other hand, if you are in a place of love, peace regarding your circumstance or a particular person, including yourself, oxytocin is released in the brain, peptides are released, endorphins are released instead of dopamine. Endorphins, very wonderful and positive. Dopamine, harmful and addictive. All right? And then here's what happens when that's activated inside you internally. Enhanced relationships increases parental and child bonding. The experience and emotions of love, joy, and peace increases immune function, reduces stress, lowers your blood pressure, counteracts addiction and withdrawal, stimulates the release of human growth hormone, which starts to reverse the aging process, increases trust and wise judgment, modulates your appetite, promotes healthy digestion and maximum metabolism, promotes healing, stimulates relaxation, stimulates non-stress energy. So you have loads of energy to do whatever you need to do all day long, but you can also sit down and relax easily and have a great night's sleep at night with no problem. It stimulates higher neurological activity instead of dumbing you down. It opens your cells to healing and regeneration as opposed to the stress response, closing your cells and taking them to a toxic place where a disease gene is likely to manifest. Okay, so which one of those two do you want to live in today? How about for the next hour? How about for the next 30 minutes, next 10 minutes? Okay? Well, that's a rhetorical question because it's so obvious. We all want the list that comes from oxytocin and the positive peptides and endorphins, and 100 people out of 100 would say that. Probably 6 billion out of 6 billion. Okay? The point is that these two mechanisms are not controlled by what other people do or don't do. They are not controlled by external circumstances unless the circumstance is life-threatening. And then we are supposed to go into fight or flight, but come out of it in 10 minutes and not go back in for another 3 or 4 months until something else life-threatening happens. But outside of the life-threatening thing, we are not ever supposed to go there. We're supposed to stay in the love, peace-based programming, experience, feelings, thoughts, and physiology of our body. Most likely, though, you will never get there as long as you continue to believe, as most people do, that the problem is that other person, or the problem is your circumstances. Because it's not. Just like me and Hope, heal the internal programming. And not only does do your feelings, emotions, thoughts, and the physiology of your body automatically change, but so do your external circumstances, including other people, the great majority of the time. I may have told this story on the kickoff lecture for this program. If I did, I'm sorry. But even if I did, I wanted to remind you of it. Over the years, after I felt like God kind of took me to spiritual school after Hope kicked me out of the house. I can't count how many people that I've done relationship kind of counseling with. Only it was never traditional counseling, because that's focused on the other person and the negotiation and the business deal and your circumstances, the problems, your circumstances. So we need to teach you coping skills to deal with your circumstances. You know what coping means? It means you've still got the problem. If you didn't have the problem, there would be no need to cope. And 99% of counseling and therapy and relational books and teachings is about coping, not completely healing at the source where you don't need to cope anymore. I don't want coping. I want healing. Okay? Anyway, one particular couple that came to me, and I've had this happen many times, but this is my favorite story about it. They were about to get a divorce, and they said, we promised our best friends that we would talk to you before we got a divorce. Would you please do counseling with us? And I said, no, I don't do counseling anymore. So they said, okay, then we're just going to go ahead and get divorced. And I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And I said, I'll work with you if you do exactly what I say, and it's going to be very unorthodox. It's not going to be any sort of traditional counseling and therapy. And they agreed. So I basically did with them what I've been talking to you about today and in the first lecture. We didn't do any business deals. They each had a list of who was at fault in the marriage and what the problems were and why the problems were the other person. I told them to put those away and never look at them again until I told them. And we started working on the source internally to each of them. Never addressed one of their issues. Never addressed any of their circumstances. Never addressed the other person. Only the fear, stress, programming internally to each of them. At the end of the time, I think it was 2 or 3 months probably, we get back on the phone, and they sound like me and Hope after our recommitment ceremony. They're kissing on each other and giggling and all that sort of thing. They can't even remember what the issues were that caused them to want a divorce. So I have them go get their list for the first time. They look at them and are like, oh, yeah. Wow, I remember that now, but I can't imagine. I can't believe I actually felt that way. The problem was never the circumstances. The problem was never the other person. Now, I'm not saying there's never a problem with another person, okay? But it's not the problem. If someone's hurting you, if you're being abused, I'd be the first one to say, get the heck out of there. But you can't quit loving them. Because if you start hating and being angry with them and all that sort of garbage, you've just taken yourself from internal love, peace programming to internal fear, stress programming. And now you're going to have those thoughts, feelings, circumstances, and the physiology of your body that are consistent with the stress, fear response, not the love, peace response. Okay? So you've just flipped your own failure, unhappiness, and health problem switch, okay, which I know you don't want to do. Plus, you don't want to do that in regard to the other person as well. You got to keep loving them. May not ever live with them again. May not even talk to them much. But you got to keep loving them, okay? So to really heal, that's what has to happen. All right? Now, I'm not saying don't change your circumstances. You may very well need to change your circumstances, but changing your circumstances is not the root problem solution. It's always, well, I better not say always. It's 99.99999% of the time it's internal programming, not the other people or external circumstances. Okay? So, first of all, you have to deprogram and reprogram. That's what the relationship codes are about. That's what my new book, Beyond Willpower, is about. That, by the way, is released on February the 10th, next Tuesday. And then after you deprogram and reprogram, you need to have as your conscious intention to live in the present moment, in the next 30 minutes, in love as best you can, no matter what you're doing, and giving up the end result circumstances to God. That's not your job. It's fine to have those end results as a hope, as a prayer, as a desire, but not as a goal. All right? The goal is the next 30 minutes in love, no matter what I'm doing. And you will never do that right completely. I mess up regularly, but I mess up a whole lot less than I used to. Okay? Hope messes up sometimes, not as much as me, not nearly as much as me, but she messes up a lot less than she used to. And that'll be the same for you. So when you mess up, when you act in fear, anger, rejection, unforgiveness, whatever, forgive yourself. All right, that's part of your relationship with yourself that needs to be love, peace-based. Forgive yourself. Say, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that. Well, I forgive you, Alex. Let's see if we can do the next 30 minutes in love. Okay? You probably cannot do that until you deprogram and reprogram, because we, over thousands of years, have all become so contaminated with these human hard drive viruses, internal programming of fear and stress. All right? And that's what I would consider breaking the cycle, which has been a catchphrase for about the last 20, 30 years, break the cycle of addictions, habits, whatever. Typically, you can't break the cycle until you deprogram and reprogram. And Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford Medical School says that the great majority of the time, over 90% of the time, what needs to be fixed, what needs to be reprogrammed, is in the subconscious mind. And I would add the unconscious. And the definition of the unconscious is you don't know what it is. Okay? So that's why sometimes you need some tools that are designed to go down and do that. You don't use a toothbrush to change your tire on your car. You don't use your lug wrench to brush your teeth. You need the right tool for the job. Okay? I would start it with a whole lot of prayer. I don't want to keep living this way anymore. I don't want to keep living based on end results and trying to manipulate end results through willpower, which doesn't work, by the way, and create stress. I don't want to keep thinking that other people and my circumstances are the problem, when really the problem is my own internal fear and stress-based programming. I want to live from an inward state of love and peace. I want to focus, and my goal to be to live the next 30 minutes in love, no matter what I'm doing, giving up the end results. I'm going to do the best I can, then let the chips fall where they may. about the end results. And let me treat everybody based on love, not based on what's in it for me, instant gratification, selfishness.